In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. Sunday of the Four Fathers, the second Sunday before the great feast of the Nativity, and the theme the church continues to proclaim: the Lord is coming. Prepare the way. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the reason why we are fasting. Fasting first, as I put in the bulletin a quote, fasting first from disordered acts of love. We call them sin. And also we are fasting from certain foods. Recalling to mind, actually, every form of sin, every act of sin is in one way a lack of controlling our appetites. In fact, the very first sin that Adam and Eve committed was a sin in gluttony, a sin of not controlling their appetite for food. Today's readings also help you and me to keep the focus, to keep the focus. At the end of today's parable the Lord gave, there was a warning. Quote, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called to participate in the divine life. And yet for so many reasons, they found reasons they could not participate. Many are called to the Eucharistic feast, celebrated every Sunday. And yet how many of the invited guests find reasons not to come to the feast? The Lord is coming. Prepare the way. And yet, while we hear these words, many are finding reasons not to make the time. Today's gospel reading revealed three men, and all three of them chose to remain deaf to the invitation. They had their reasons for putting off an invitation to the great banquet. And they were reasons of ordinary, associated with ordinary life. And the master, who represents God, he was angry. He was irritated. He was very disappointed. But he was not deterred. He had a banquet. So if the guest didn't want to come, what'd he do? He told his servant, then go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring then the poor and bring the crippled and bring the lame and bring the blind. And when there was still more room, the master said, then go out into the highways and go out into the hedges and make more people come. Because I want my house to be filled for the great feast. How ineffable, how incomprehensible, how mysterious is God. God is impelled by selfless love because he is selfless love. And he wants nothing more than to share his banquet with as many people as possible. A far cry from the God of wrath and the God of judgment, the God waiting to condemn people. This is not the God that's been revealed to us by his own Son. This is, who is God? We see him today. The God is not deterred by those who don't want to come, so he goes out and finds other people. Because he's going to invite, because he's love. He's going to have his banquet hall full. That's a lesson we can take from the book of Revelation. God's going to accomplish his will. It's not depend upon individual people. God wants his banquet full. Is that not the reason for the nativity? Is that not the reason for the event of the incarnation? Where we see God's extraordinary and anxious, selfless love. In the event of Christmas, we see God offering his own beloved Son to the world. And tragically, how many say, I'm not interested. I got other things to do. I don't have time. In the event of Christmas, we see an eager God ready to share his life with anyone who's willing to accept the invitation, who's willing to partake. And yet, how many times, even let's not talk about the people out there who aren't here, how many times do you and I find other reasons not to partake? How many times have you and I found excuses? How many times do we find reasons not to pray? How many times we find ourselves filling the Lord's day up with other things that are not related to God? How many times we find reasons not to do the fast? How many times we find reasons, excuses not to give up certain sinful habits? And yet God is waiting for us to come to the banquet. Who are these invited guests? Who are they? Let's first remember, no one has a right to this invitation. Everyone is an invited guest. Everyone. Let's remember then, should we ever want to judge our brother and sister who's here? Because you and I also have no right to be here, except for the fact that God invited you and me. And the people of the Old Covenant, the Jewish people, they were given the gifts of law and the Old Covenant. They were given the gifts of worship. They were God's chosen people, and yet, they didn't accept it. Too many of them did not accept it. So where did God go? He went to the highways and the hedges. In other words, he went to the people outside the boundaries of the chosen people, outside of Judaism. The Gentiles, and he accepted them. He invited them. Why are all people accepted? Why are all people invited? Because every single human being is made in the image and likeness of God. The universal human vocation is to become partakers of the divine life. It belongs to no particular people, no particular race. It belongs to male and female. St. Paul said it so well in today's epistle, quote, Here there is no Gentile or Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarian and no Scythian, no slave and no free man, by Christ, but all are in Christ. That's it. There is only one reason why someone would not accept the gift. It's the one who rejects Jesus the Christ. It's the one who chooses sin. That choice of disordered love. Who then prioritizes the things of earth, whatever they may be, over the things of God. So what does St. Paul say on this Sunday and just 8 days away from Christmas? What does he tell us? Put to death. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he gives a list: immorality, impurity, inordinate passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is simply a form of idolatry. And then he goes on to mention bad temper, anger, malice, a vicious mind, a mind that seeks vice, abusive language. That's words that we use to harm and hurt one another, like through gossip and rash judgments and criticizing other people. And he says foul language, vulgarity, obscene language. But I'm sure, being good Americans and growing up in a Protestant ethos in the United States, we end up getting caught up into legalism and going, oh, I see this all the time when people come to confession. They get caught up into all these particular sins and they miss the point. St. Paul's not just giving a whole list of more things not to do. This is not legalism. Because if you read the Colossians epistle closely, what does he say? He teaches you must strip off the old man and be willing to live the new one, Jesus the Christ. This is the point. We're committing sins because we're not living in Christ. Christianity is not another moral code. It's not a new ethics. Anybody can be moral. The atheist can be moral. A Muslim and a Jew and a Buddhist and a Confucian can be moral. They can all follow those lists and not commit anger and malice and foul language. That's not the point of Christianity. Christianity is about being made new from within. It's about becoming another Christ, an icon of God in the world. If you're sinning all these little sins because of the heart, you're missing the heart. You're not going deeper. You're not going to Christ himself. Would I love if someone came to confession and began with, you know, God, and you know, Father, my real sin, I don't really love God. Because if you really love Christ and you're living in him, all these other sins would fall. The sins would just fall away. Just fall away. So we come to the heart of today's teaching just a week before Christmas. What earthly things have you prioritized over God and his invitation? Is it work? This is the key. Work, family life, your financial situation, a big one for Americans, political issues, another big one, cultural issues, how much time we waste on politics and cultural issues, and we're missing the point. Spend all this time reading about politics and cultural issues, and we're not reading our scriptures, we're not reading our fathers. We're not reading the prophets. We're more worried about worldly things. You see St. Paul writing about cultural issues and politics. You see Peter. You see James. You see John. You see St. John Damascene. You see St. John Chrysostom. You see St. Thomas. Name it. When you read they're not talking about politics and culture. They're talking about Christ. Do you know Christ? Are you reading Christ? Are you being transformed by Christ? You read the news, you can cop in politics, you're going to be transformed into a political unit, thinking in a worldly way. Put it aside this whole week. Forget it all. You don't need it. You need Christ. God's coming to give you a gift. We live in a de-Christianized society where busyness rules the day. And distractions are the norm. In the midst of this hustle and bustle that distracts you and me from what is most important, the church is giving you and me the answers. They've worked for 2,000 years. Greater prayer, greater fasting, greater almsgiving, prayer. Prayer is union with God. Fasting. Removing that which obstructs my union with God. Almsgiving. Living out the charity that you encounter in prayer. Christ is among us.